Amen. So do you ever get nervous about going somewhere new? Whether it be a new job, a new neighborhood, or even a new church, and wondering whether you will be able to talk about the Word of God with others? Do you worry about what to say, whether you know or remember enough scriptures to have that conversation about the gift of salvation, mercy, or about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Now, this is daunting. It's a daunting task, even for trained individuals, because of adversity that may be encountered. Because you can be ignored, ridiculed, or receive very colorful commentary in a not-so-great way. But this should not be surprising, considering the animosity that we as Christians face today. And this has not changed much since Christ walked among us 2,000 years ago. My friends, meet Paul the Apostle, who, when he went to Corinth, tried to set up a church there, but was not knowing what to expect. Because like many of us who are thrown into a possible situation where we may have to witness to somebody who's not a believer, Paul was feeling that anxiety in bringing the word to the Corinthians because he had faced rejection in Athens. So if you go to Acts chapter 17, Paul debated the Athenians on their own turf. He tried to debate them in philosophical terms about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was trying to reason with them, even when they had an inscription on an altar to an unknown God. Paul was moved by the Holy Spirit that Jesus had sent down to his disciples at the time of Pentecost after he rose to heaven. Paul was moved to preach to the Athenians about Jesus going to the cross and what it means for us as followers of Christ. He called on them to repent and have faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the Athenians did seem interested about this because they did believe in spirituality and a life beyond this world and mortal life. But they somehow could not seem to fathom one rising from the dead back into this world with the very body that they had left the world from. Now, this should be obvious to everyone here that there has been only one person able to do that. By the plan that God the Father enacted at the very beginning of time when we were separated from our Creator in this fallen world. And so, it is written at the end of Acts 17 that when the Athenians heard of the resurrection of the dead, a.k.a. Jesus, there were those who mocked Paul, and others simply said, "We will hear you again on this matter." So after Athens, Paul goes to Corinth in the hopes that he'll find better success there. He really didn't know what to expect when he arrived trying to set up this church. If you go into Acts chapter 18, it goes into more detail about when Paul first arrived in Corinth. For example, he met Aquila and Priscilla, the tent makers. He went to the synagogues to testify to both the Jews and the Greeks about Jesus Christ. And like in Athens, he met opposition to that which he was testifying about. But his main opposition was from the Jews. And it frustrated him to the point that he angrily told them in verse 6 of Acts chapter 18, "Your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Now, if you notice, Paul says, "I am clean." And this is a reference to the Old Testament reading or not the reading today, but the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, when Ezekiel prophesied saying, "If you do warn the wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die for their sin, though you yourself will be saved." Now that doesn't go without saying Paul was very frustrated, very angry, with the Jews not listening to him. But this was an indication that he was meant to go elsewhere. And you could say that this was the beginning of the Church of Corinth. Paul found a man named Justus who worshiped God and lived close to the synagogue. On top of that, Paul witnessed to a man named Crispus, who was, ironically, a ruler within the synagogue. And his household became believers. And Paul was further encouraged because God spoke to him in a vision. Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. "Do not be afraid, but speak. Do not keep silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." Now, if we go to the reading for this message for today, which is the New Testament reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verses 3 through 5, Paul says, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So what was Paul trying to say to the Corinthians? At the time when he started preaching to them, he was not trying to give this impression of a charismatic preacher that you might see on TV. He did not want to be seen as a strong leader himself, because he feared that if he did such a thing, then the gospel of Jesus would be lost in the message that Paul was trying to convey to that church. And Paul was likewise knowledgeable, and many people knew about that as well. See, he downplayed himself so that God and the Holy Spirit would be seen. His desire was that the church would place their faith in God, not in Paul. So where does that take us here? In other words, we should not be trusting our own wisdom. And we also need to take care not to be misled by those who think they have such wisdom. Mankind is easily led astray, and this is a result of sin. The evidence for that is clear at the fall, at the beginning of time. Paul encourages the Corinthians and us when he continues talking about spiritual wisdom. In verse 6, he says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." So we are speaking about wisdom, but God's wisdom is not meant for all. We, as followers of Christ, are supposed to be removed from this world. We are in it, but not of it. And that's a reference to Paul writing to the Romans in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world." So there are those who are not going to get the wisdom, or rather, the truth of Jesus Christ. It's just not going to register with them, because they're so waist deep in their sin. They cannot see the truth for what it is, even when it's presented before them in such a clear and simple way. And it's so obvious. If you haven't seen the state of the world today and how it behaves, how it turns from God, from Jesus, from repentance, then you are probably living under a rock. And Jesus himself stated he would bring division on this earth. Luke chapter 12, verses 51 through 53. "Do you suppose that I came to give peace on this earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two, and two against three. Father will be divided against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. If we are willing to listen, we will hear the wisdom. Going back to the reading, Paul talks about this in verses 7 through 9, where he is speaking of the wisdom of God, which was a hidden wisdom ordained by God before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this world knew, because if they had known and understand, they would not have crucified Christ. We have not seen or heard, nor entered the hearts of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So Paul is helping us to distinguish between God's wisdom and the wisdom of this world. The wisdom is revealed in Christ Jesus, in his first coming. And as we know, the world rejected him. Man's wisdom is of this world and has a very narrow viewpoint, because it depends on a lot of things, methods, like science, for example. Worldly wisdom is proven by what you can see, what you can prove, what you can touch, what you can hear, what you can feel. So those who do not want to believe don't have to look beyond to the wisdom provided by God through Christ. And there's a very important case of how this worldly wisdom is shattered and the wisdom of God is provided. As you know, when Jesus appeared to the apostles and Thomas, the doubter, in John chapter 20, verse 29, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not yet seen, but have believed." Going back to the reading, verse 10 says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." So the Holy Spirit works in mysterious ways beyond our understanding. But when we're catching on, we let the Spirit lead, and it does wondrous things for us. This can be things such as finding a group of people who share the faith with you, and you can share that with them. Being called into various ways to serve in ministry, or being called, very important one, to witness and help bring someone to repentance and salvation in Christ Jesus. Paul emphasizes this in verse 11, "Because we do not know these things except when we know the Spirit is within us. As he says, even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." Now, Paul also warns of what happens when we're going to speak in the wisdom of God, when you read through verses 12 through 16 of today's passage, and I'm going to paraphrase this. "So we have received the Spirit of God, not of the world. We are not speaking in the wisdom that man is teaching, but that of the Holy Spirit. The natural man of this world is not wanting to receive the Spirit of God. They are foolish. They do not know God, and God cannot know him because they are spiritually discerned. We have been given the mind of Christ." Brothers and sisters, the world has and will reject Christ in the coming days. It's been that way for the past 2,000 years. It will continue to be that way until Christ returns. But Paul also wanted to direct us to the good news of Christ Jesus, because it forms the basis for our unity in this faith, and to use discretion for hearing others talk about the wisdom and the message of Christ. Now, there will be those who unfortunately will twist the word of God into a false gospel that has nothing to do with the resurrection or the salvation provided by Christ Jesus. Jesus warned us about this, and so did Paul. "Watch out for the wolves in sheep's clothing. We must remain inspired by the good news and hold steadfast to our walk with the Lord, but also shine the light that we have in Christ for others. So know that when we talk of this wisdom, when we talk of Jesus Christ and why he came into the world, when we proclaim the gospel of Jesus, how he came into this world to save us from our sins, and that we must repent and turn away from our sinful nature to live a life glorifying to God the Father and as a part of Jesus' flock, you will face adversity. Paul saw this too, but needed to say it to the Corinthians. Even when he was trembling, shaking, and fearful, but he was led by the Holy Spirit because the message was brought by the wisdom of God. Friends, the mystery of God's will is for the salvation of sinners. And through Scripture, we see that we are saved through faith and the gift of grace from God, and through the blood that was shed by Jesus. Salvation, not of works, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. So what is important is that we do not find ourselves rejecting God's gift or his word. So today and this week, I pray that your walk with Jesus Christ leads you down the long and narrow path that he talked about. Do you have your own wisdom, the wisdom of man, or the wisdom of the Holy Spirit? Of God. Have you repented? Have you asked for forgiveness? Have you turned your life from sin and walking and talking with Jesus? If God were to call you away from your earthly body, is your name in the book of life? Look to the cross, my friends, for that hidden and wonderful wisdom. And I pray that God reveals it to you, that you be led by the Spirit to not only do the work of God, but have the most intimate and wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.